Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
So good to be with you this morning, church. Yes, the girls are back, basically, right? Last week we had Excel Men's Conference, which was incredible, all the guys in the house. And you know what? It was amazing to know that the men's conference isn't just about bringing men together. It is investing in fathers. It's investing in sons. It's investing in brotherhood. It's investing in the family throughout this nation. So well done, every single one of you who was here and who helped make that happen. Well done. But today the girls are back in the house, so I am on. But this morning I want to talk to you about something that I think we all need, every single one of us, every single one of us. And I want to talk about something that I think makes every single one of us better. It will make you better as a friend. It will make you better as a parent. It will make you better in your workplace. It will make you better, let's think of some youth. It will make you better in your schools. It will just make you better. It would even make you better on your first date. Whoa. I know, right? I tell you what, it will even help you on the dance floor this Christmas. Whoa. I know, big words, I know. And I'll tell you what that is. I want to talk to you today about confidence. Confidence. My husband cannot dance. But he does it in confidence. And therefore it is all okay. Who doesn't want more confidence in their lives? You know, I think we all could do with more confidence, right? And I don't know about you, but me, I was a shy child. Super shy, didn't want to speak to anyone, withdrew, you know. So the fact that I'm actually even here speaking to you today speaks about two things in my life. One, working on my confidence, which we all have to do, right? Every single one of you who starts a new job, you might not feel as confident starting it, but as you practice and as you get better, as you study, you feel more confident. You work on your confidence. But the other thing it speaks of is the fact that I've learned to lean on God's confidence. I've learned to lean on His confidence. And so this morning I want to talk to you not about your confidence. You absolutely should work on your confidence. You know, what do they say? The most important person you will lead is who? Yourself. So you absolutely should work on your confidence. But this morning I want to remind you of His confidence in you. He has put His confidence in you. And these days we have so many tools, don't we, to help us in our own confidence. But God has given us some things to help us in the confidence that He has in us. We don't have to do this life alone, because He has put something. As Christians, we are aware that we have another confidence that we can lean into, and it is His confidence, not your own, but His. David learned this from a youth. Psalms 71 verse 5 says, "You are my confidence from my youth." What did David do in his youth? Killed Goliath, right? And yet he says it was God's confidence in his youth. Not his own, but His confidence. There is a source of confidence that we can all tap into that has nothing to do with our own confidence, but everything to do with His confidence. And today I want to remind you of three things that the Bible says that God has given you, where you can see His confidence in you. And those three things are the crown, the oil, and the gift. So those are the three things I want to talk to you about today. The crown, the oil, and the gift. Three things that He has given you where you can lean into His confidence, not your own, but His confidence. So let's start with the crown. The Old Testament speaks about crowns, right? Because they understood crowns. They had kings in the Old Testament. And so they understood the crowns of authority that these kings carried. If we all watch The Crown these days, we think we kind of understand what The Crown means. But the Bible also says that we are running a race to reach a crown at the end of our race. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says this, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. We are running this race because there is a promise that there is a crown that we will get. Paul tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. So we know that we are running a race for an actual crown that God wants to give us at the end of that. How amazing is that? And yet the Bible also speaks about different crowns that God wants to give us in the Spirit. For example, Psalms tells us that if we walk in humility, he puts a crown of victory on our head. Proverbs speaks about, if you give me your ashes, your grief, everything that you've gone through, I will somehow exchange that and put a crown of beauty on your head instead. How beautiful is that? And yet, the word says that there is a crown that we all wear. And that crown is a crown of authority. Hebrews 2:7 says, I have crowned them with glory and honor. He has crowned us with love and compassion. John 1:12 puts it this way. But as many as have received him, who here has received Jesus into their lives? As many as have received him, he has given them the power and authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Every single one of us today walks with a crown of authority. You are walking with a crown of authority. God has given you authority as sons and daughters of the Most High. That's right. He has given you, an area where you are walking in, whether it is your job or as a parent or in college. Whatever you are walking in, you walk in it with authority. As a pastor, married to my lovely husband here, Jock, we stepped into the authority of leading this church in March of this year. It's an authority. We're walking. He's given us something to walk into, and we can walk in it in authority. Not because of anything that we are working on in our confidence, but because of his confidence that he's put in us. But can I tell you, there have been times where I have let fear overcrowd my mind and I have let doubt step in. And do you know what and this message comes from this very thing. Do you know what I felt the Holy Spirit say to me? Put your crown back on. Put your crown back on. Put your crown back on because we can put it down. We can put our crowns down. And God has given us an authority, and every single one of you has an authority to walk out. He has put his confidence in you. And it's not a confidence. It's not a confidence that you can work at. Hello. It's not a confidence that you, he's confident. He has confidence, absolutely. Uh-oh, is he okay? You can wake up in the morning and not feel like, I don't feel great. I'm not sure what I'm doing. I don't know about you, but you know, like, I hope, you know, I don't wake up and go, I look amazing. But can I tell you that you do? The Bible says in Isaiah that God has given you garments of salvation and a robe of his righteousness. Even when you wake up in the morning, it doesn't matter how you feel. You can wake up and go, good morning, Holy Spirit. I look good. Tell your neighbor, you look good. You look good, you do. You might not feel it in the natural, but this isn't about your confidence. This is about his confidence in you. You, in the Spirit, are walking with a crown of authority, robed in his righteousness. Robed in the splendor of salvation. You look good. And me and Jock were talking about this, like, How do you explain that authority that you carry? And the best analogy we could come up with was, imagine a traffic warden. Traffic lights are broken, traffic warden steps in place and starts directing the traffic. Now you would come up to that and you would follow what they tell you. Not because of how they feel, not because of what they ate that morning, not because of their Instagram followers, but the only reason you will follow what that traffic warden is doing is because he's wearing a uniform that tells you he has the authority to do what he's doing. And every single one of you wears a crown of authority. And this morning, I just want to remind you to keep your crown on. Keep your crown on. The only place the Bible says that we put his crown down is this. The 24 elders in Revelation fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they laid their crowns before the throne and say, holy, holy, holy. The only place you put down your crown of authority is at the feet of God himself. That is the only place. And Revelation 3:11 tells you this. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Not your confidence. God has put his confidence in you. I can wake up in the morning no matter how I feel, and I can go, it's okay, I am a child of the Most High. I can walk in authority even though it might be, God, okay, what does this new journey look like? This journey of pastoring. I can still step out in confidence, not in my confidence, but in the confidence that I know I walk out in the authority with a crown on my head that has the authority of knowing that I am the daughter of the Most High, and every single one of you walks with that same authority. Do that. That's right. Do that. His confidence, not yours. His confidence in you. Now, he could have just given you that. I mean, that's quite big. He's given you a crown of authority. You walk. You're the only created being that is given that privilege to walk as a son and daughter of the Most High. And he could have left it there, because that in itself is incredible. But he's given you something else to show you his confidence in you. And the second thing is his oil. Now, if you have read much of the Bible, you'll know that the oil, the Holy Spirit, is represented throughout the Word of God in different ways: a dove, fire, water, wind, but also oil. The oil of the anointing, the oil in you, the oil of the Holy Spirit. And I want to take us to the verse in Matthew 25, where it talks about the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids. And it says that 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. They set out on a journey to meet the groom, and they were carrying their oil with them. And yet 5 ran out of oil and tried to borrow someone else's oil, couldn't. And then the other 5 were able to make it because they have the oil. And it says when the 5 who did not have the oil came to knock on the door, it's a very scary verse, this one. The groom opens the door and says, I do not know you. I do not know you. And this morning I want to tell you, God has left the Holy Spirit, one just like Jesus himself, with you. We have the oil of the Holy Spirit with us every single day. And the joy of walking in the oil is that when you talk to your Father, you are known. Every single one of you can walk in the confidence that you are known and you are loved. He is for you. He is with you. The minute you turn your attention to God, you don't have to. How many of you have to turn your attention to God and God goes, 1 minute, I'll be with you in a second. I'm just with Jock first. Or I'm just with someone else first. No, God is constantly there waiting to be in relationship with every single one of you. All you need to do is turn your attention to him. But there is a warning in that verse. I cannot borrow your oil, and you cannot borrow mine. I cannot go, Jess, can I borrow your oil for today? I can't. Jess can't borrow it from Ricardo, her husband. I can't borrow it from Jock. I can't go to Ruth Swift. I know she would probably want to give me her oil, but you can't. You are responsible for the oil. You are responsible for the oil that every single one of you has. But you can walk confident because you have the Holy Spirit inside every single one of us. You are known and you are loved. And if you turn your attention to the Father every day, He is there just breathing and speaking love over you, letting you know that you are known. And yet we love to hide, don't we? From the beginning of time, the first thing Adam and Eve did was hide. And sometimes we can hide from God, think that, oh, I didn't do great today, therefore God's not going to want me. God knows you. He knows every single thing about you. So today, if you're feeling, well, I've not wanted to talk to him at the moment because of what I've done. Can I tell you, he loves you. He loves you, and it doesn't matter what you've done. He is ready and waiting for you. He just needs you to turn your attention towards him. And he is there, and he knows you inside out. You can walk in the confidence that he knows you. So you can walk in the confidence of the crown, in the confidence that he's put a crown of authority on your head. You can walk in the confidence that you are known, that the Holy Spirit is in you, that God left of himself in this world because he wants to be your helper, your advocate, your comforter. These are all words for the Holy Spirit in the Bible. God wants you to know that you are known. And the last thing that God gives us, because again, that could be enough. It's giving you the crown of authority. That's huge. You're called a son and daughter of the Most High. He has given you the oil of the Holy Spirit. You can walk in the confidence that you are known and loved, and he is with you and for you. But then he goes and he also gives you a gift, because that's how good he is. He gives you the gift. The Bible says that every single one of us has been given spiritual gifts. Same Spirit, different gifts, it says. Every single one of us has been given gifts. We are empowered with gifts from the Holy Spirit because God wants us to walk in purpose. He knows that we are called to purpose. Who here wants to walk aimlessly in life? None of us. We want to walk with purpose, and God knows that about us. And so he says, I've not just given you my authority. I've not just given you the oil of my Holy Spirit, but I have put gifts in you to help you walk out with purpose in this life. You are made for purpose. Whatever sphere of life you're in, God has given you gifts to help you. And I know these days, I think everyone knows personality types, right? How many of you know what Enneagram you are, or what Myers-Briggs you are, or what DISC number you are? I don't know. There's so many out there. And they're great because it helps us understand each other and to know one another and gives us a little bit of a fast pass to get to, you know, to get to understand how you're made up and what your makeup is like. But I hope that we also are as good at knowing what our spiritual gifts are. That we have also explored and asked God, well, what have you given me as a gift for me to unwrap? Because you're made for purpose. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everything, it's the same God at work. And to each one of us, he has given these gifts for the common good. I love theology. And I read a book by a theologian called John Barclay, and it's called Paul and the Gifts. It's a great book. But it talks about what gift meant in that time. Because gifts today are like, I give you a gift and that's kind of it, right? You don't have to do anything in return. But a gift in those times had many things attached to it. And I want to pull three from the 10 that he talks about. A gift, when someone gave you a gift, you asked yourself some questions. Who gave this gift? Because who gave it is important. How useful is this gift? If I give you a bicycle, that's a great gift. But if you can't ride a bicycle, it's not such a great gift, is it? But if I give you a bicycle with lessons to ride a bike, we're good with that. That's a good gift. And what am I supposed to do in return was another question That was us. What am I supposed to do in return? Because a gift was not no strings attached. It was part of the social makeup. And so when you gave a gift, there was something attached. And yet we can look at this, at this gift that God has given us. And when we look at who gave them to us, who gave them to us? God himself. God himself is giving you beautiful gifts to outwork this life with. God himself. How useful are they? They are for the purpose of your life. They are for you to walk out this life in fullness. And what are you supposed to do with them in return? The Bible's really clear. We're supposed to use them together as a body to build up the body of God. Not to allow gifts to divide in any way, but to allow the spiritual gifts to be used together to build each other up. This last week, we've had Christmas set up, and it has been the most beautiful picture of everyone just stepping into their spiritual gifts. We had Rochelle here with Rosie with her gifts of craftsmanship. They were painting the windows. They were like painting canvases. Ian Robottom with a gift of helps, who just said, what do you need me to do? I will put nails in a wall. I will come and do. Petra coming through with her gift of hospitality, feeding everybody who came down to help. Why? Because every single one of us wants to make this place welcoming, wants to make this place a place where people can walk in and know they are loved, that we have created an atmosphere. I hope you walked in this morning and thought, wow, someone thought of me. You walk in and you already feel welcomed. You feel the hospitality. And so today, and so this week was incredible because we saw those gifts coming together. I stand here teaching you, not because I have, okay, I've worked on my confidence a little bit to be here, okay? That's okay. But 5 years ago, till 5 years ago, I would never have stood up in front of anyone to say anything. I was always in the background, really happy to help in the background. Never wanted to be. This being up here would scare the life out of me. Wow. Till 5 years ago, scare the life out of me. And yet somehow I felt the Holy Spirit nudge to go, I want you to study. I want you to get back in the Word. I want you. I had Rich Martin, who has the greatest gift of encouragement, going, and because I went to work at college with Rich, going, there's something in you that God wants you to unwrap. So I'm going to make you stand up and I'm going to make you open the Word of God. Somehow that led to me studying theology. Somehow that led to God equipping me for what we're doing today. But 5 years ago, I wouldn't have done it. And I tell you, I stand here right now, maybe 20% because I've worked on my confidence, but the other 80% is literally me leaning on His confidence. If He's given me a little gift of teaching, no matter what small, I'm going to unwrap that. I'm going to unwrap them and go, okay, I might not feel that I can do this well, but somehow your confidence says you think I can do something with it. So I will step in your confidence and not my own. The crown of authority, the oil of the Holy Spirit, and the gift that He has given you. The gift that He has given you. God takes, for God, your confidence is really important. He hasn't taken it lightly. He's given you a crown of authority, the oil of His Holy Spirit, and He didn't stop there. He also gave you spiritual gifts. Hebrews 10:35 says this, do not throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. And that confidence, it's not the confidence in yourself. That confidence that we're talking about there is the confidence that God has put in you, the confidence of faith, the confidence of your salvation, the confidence of knowing who you are in Him. Do not throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. Two verses later, so that's Hebrews 10:35. Sorry, three verses later. Just three verses later, not one, not two, but three. Hebrews 10:38. My righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Now that can sound like a harsh verse, but he's not saying he doesn't love you if you shrink back. He's not saying he hasn't stopped, you know, loving every part of you when you shrink back. But what he's saying is, I take great joy when you walk in the confidence that I have given you. God takes great joy when you walk out in the confidence he has given you. When you walk out in your authority as a youth in your school, parent, when you walk out in your authority where culture isn't going to shape your child will be led by your godly example. That's what will shape your child, your authority. If you're a musician up here, using your gifts, how many of you loved worship this morning? Because they have used the gifts that God has given them to help build the church of God up. Whatever area you've been called into, whatever sphere of life you're in, this morning I want to remind you, not of your confidence, because the world, our confidence will not hold us up in this world. It is a little bit scary. There are things that are unknown. We are entering new things all the time. But we can wake up and we can know that we can have confidence, not in ourselves, but confidence in him, in the confidence he has placed in us, and the crown of authority we walk in with the oil of the Holy Spirit in us, and these gifts that he has given us for purpose and for walking out this life. So this morning, I just want to remind you of the confidence that is in you, and it's not your own. It is his confidence. Amen? Amen. And I want to leave you with this verse in Philippians 1:6. Being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. His confidence in you. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon.